You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up!
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Hollywood headache. Could Matthew Stafford's elbow injury become a huge problem for the Super Bowl champs? Plus, speaking of injuries, lots of them in Chicago. Bad news for the Bears. Is it about to get a whole lot worse for Justin Fields before it gets better? And does Dak need help? The gift the Cowboys could give their quarterback that could change everything in the Big D. Good morning. I'm Alan Hahn. I'm in for Greeny. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Mike Tannenbaum here with us in Seaport with me this morning. Ryan Clark, Jeff Darlington here as well, looking resplendent, looking handsome, plenty of football to get to. But before we do that, performance of the night, Jacob DeGrom and the Mets hosting the Braves. DeGrom making his first start since July 7th, 2021 at home. And that slider was the go-to pitch. As you can see, the Braves couldn't touch it. Then, look at that. I mean, just unhittable. The first 18 sliders, the Braves swung and missed at them. But we go to the top of the sixth. DeGrom perfect through 5 2/3 innings. But after walking a batter, Dansby Swanson takes him deep. His 16th of the year. The Braves trim the Mets lead to 5-2. DeGrom would be taken out of the game at this point. He shows some frustration there in the dugout. But 5 2/3, 12 strikeouts, a good performance. Then Edwin Diaz comes in the ninth to try to close it. Swanson down on strikes. Olsen down swinging. Austin Riley, what do you got for us? Now you're watching just like the rest of us as Diaz strikes out the side in order. And the Mets take the win 5-2. We go back to DeGrom. He finished the day with 12 strikeouts. It brings his career total to 1,523. It's the most strikeouts through 200 games by any player in Major League history. And with the win, the Mets extend their National League East lead to 6.5 games over the Braves. All right. 1 month until kickoff. Yes, football is here. 1 month away, we get the Bulls and the Rams opening night. Defending Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford, he continues to nurse an elbow injury to his throwing arm, necessitated an injection during the offseason. Over the weekend, Stafford talked about how it feels and what this injury means.
I just have a little soreness. We're working through it. I felt pretty good today. I thought it looked pretty good. But just trying to be smart with it and make me feel as good as I can feel going into week one and while still getting as many reps as I can too. I'm feeling stronger every time I come out here and throw. I don't know if you guys were watching, felt like I could make any throw I wanted to today.
So he's talking about it. He's letting us see him throw the ball Saturday. It is something now 4 days into this thing. Jeff Darlington, is this injury matching the attention that it's been getting?
Well, if you ask Matt Stafford, the injury does not match the attention. He was a little bit frustrated answering questions this weekend, basically 7 questions in about the elbow. He essentially said, like, is there anything other than my elbow that you want to talk about? The answer to that is no, of course not, because he's the defending Super Bowl champion quarterback who's now been dealing with this. It's kept him out of team drills. He's been able to participate in 7-on-7 and individual drills throughout camp. Sean McVay is the one ultimately who kind of shed light on this by noting that this was an abnormal injury for a quarterback, more of a baseball injury. But this is all about pain management, as far as I've been told. This is about getting him ready so he's his best for week one. Yes, it is nagging. Yes, it is sore. Yes, it will continue to be those things. But ultimately, this is not the type of injury that will shut him down, rather something that he's going to have to manage and work through as this camp proceeds.
Mike T, this injury now, what are you looking for early in the season, and how big of a deal is this injury?
I'll be looking for the nuances of this offense. This is an offense that has a ton of new stars. When you think about the fact that they've lost Andrew Whitworth, Austin Colbert, OBJ, Robert Woods, Sony Michel, they've lost a number of notable departures. So with that said, when we go back to those playoff games a year ago, be it against the Buccaneers, be it against the 49ers, the margin for error in winning a game or losing is so small at this level. And if he doesn't get the reps in practice with all these new stars, that would be a concern. And early on, when I talk about nuance, I'm talking about false starts, breaking the huddle, the two-minute drive, things like that where you don't have all those repetitions. It's something we have to closely monitor.
He sounded like, RC, he sounded frustrated when he had to talk about it Saturday. You heard McVay also say, you see him, you see the way he's throwing the ball. You saw it, like, it feels like, is too much being made of this, or should there be legit concerns? RC, from a player perspective, is Stafford frustrated that this got out?
Hey, man, I don't know if he's frustrated if it got out, but we're talking about Matthew Stafford. What do we associate Matthew Stafford with all the time? Throwing the football, arm talent, arm strength, velocity. Like, this is not like Matthew Stafford has an injured toe. We know we might bring Dan on and be like, hey, Dan, Matthew Stafford has an injured toe. How are you going to help him fix it? And can he plant? But that's not what we're saying. We're talking about the dude that best throw in the Super Bowl was a no-look in route to Cooper Kupp. That happens because you have arm strength. So, of course, if they're holding you out of drills because your elbow is not feeling good or your elbow is sore, and we're saying this is an abnormal injury, people are going to ask, you just won the Super Bowl. Why did we all still love Matthew Stafford in Detroit even though they always stunk? Because Matthew Stafford can throw a football through the eye of a pinhole. And so if you can't do that, a guy who has decision-making problems, a guy who was tops in the league in interceptions, you're really no good. So, of course, people are going to ask this question. But now, is it overblown? Can the injury not be as severe as holding him out of team drills make it seem? All of those things are cool. But Matthew Stafford has to be real with himself. Nobody ever said we want Matthew Stafford to run Lamar Jackson's offense because it's about his arm. So, of course, the questions are going to be answered.
Yeah, I almost feel like, though, McVay might have spoke when he spoke on Thursday, using abnormal, using all these different words, the way he described it as, it's not a typical football injury, it's more like a pitcher and all that stuff. I feel like if maybe he spoke, maybe he said too much, right? And if Matthew Stafford played for the Patriots, we wouldn't know about this injury 5 years from now when Ian O'Connor writes a book about it. Then we'd know about this injury. I almost feel like that could be the case here, but still. Right now, as you said, it is something to monitor. But as training camps continue, let's go through some other camp concerns. We begin with Jeff Darlington.
I think it's the Tampa Bay Bucs right now. And look, I'm not suggesting that this will be a problem, but it is certainly a concern. In the wake of Ryan Jensen's injury, they're trying to get their second-year guy in Hainsey up to speed here. And I've talked to people in Tampa who really like him. They think he's going to be an effective center. But this was already a concern going into the season. Now, with the loss of Jensen, something absolutely we'll continue to watch in Tampa Bay.
Certainly there. Now, what about in Green Bay, Mike T?
Alan, it's David Bakhtiari's health. He's missed 13 games. He's only playing 13 games in two seasons. He had a scope again in the offseason. We make so much about Davante Adams losing the best receiver in football, of course, is a concern. But this is a great left tackle. And if he can't play in all of the games this year, or at least a meaningful part, this could really impact the defending MVP.
Ryan Clark, we go to Cleveland. Concerns?
Yeah, I have a ton of concerns if I'm the Cleveland Browns. Listen, if you're the Cleveland Browns, it was almost a sigh of relief last week when you got an opportunity to finally figure out how long Deshaun Watson was suspended, and that number was 6. Now, with the NFL appealing, we're hearing things about indefinite suspension, at least a year. Can you truly win with a roster that's made to win a Super Bowl with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, who's 15 and 23 or 24 as a starter? And so if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm kicking the tires on some other things. Understanding how much the NFL truly wants Deshaun Watson to pay for the accusations and allegations against him that were levied by 24 women.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's jump off that because that's obviously a huge story because the Browns have a roster that's good enough to win big this year. And that, of course, is going to be the concern on the field as well as the concerns off. So, Mike T, as from your front office experience, what should the Browns do in case what RC just says does happen and you're without, let's say you're without Deshaun Watson for 10 weeks, if not a whole season.
Yeah, Alan, RC nailed it. There should be a sense of urgency. And if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I am not getting off the phone with John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, and I am trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm not taking no for an answer. I like Jacoby Brissett. He has played good football, but this is a team that's going to be competing against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And the combination of Brissett and Garoppolo gives us a chance to have a meaningful playoff run. Right now, Josh Dobbs and Josh Rosen are one hit away of playing for the Browns. So at some point, we know Jimmy G is going to be available. If I'm John Lynch, I don't want to cut him and see him be a Seahawk or a Ram. I want to see him in the AFC. So we're getting a deal done. I'm not taking no for an answer, and we're going to get it figured out.
Wow. RC, should the Browns go for Jimmy G?
You know what? I believe they should. Now, this also sounds like we're talking about the New England Patriots quarterback room after Deflategate, when Tom Brady was going to miss the first four games of the season, in which I think Jimmy G started three of those. Jacoby Brissett started one. But when you look at this team and the way that it's built, and also understanding how Kevin Stefanski wants to run offense, what we've seen with some things like the Kirk Cousins, and also looking at what Jimmy G was able to do with the team with a very good defense and an excellent running game in San Francisco, he seems like a perfect fit, high completion percentage, and also a guy who's win over replacement. And I know that's win above replacement. I know the WAR thing is not like a football thing, but it works for Jimmy G. He makes the team so much better when he starts as opposed to when he doesn't. And I think he's the right fit for a team like the Cleveland Browns, where you need a year, you need someone to extend until you can get Deshaun Watson back indefinitely. I think Jimmy G would be a great player to bring in there and at least have that competition with Jacoby Brissett.
Ryan Clark bringing in baseball analytics into a football conversation. That's really impressive. War, what's it good for? When it works for you, it's good for something. Jeff, update us, though, on Jimmy G's situation. It's amazing to think in a sport that is so quarterback-starved that a guy has been to a Super Bowl, been to an NFC Championship, is still available and no takers yet.
Well, in some ways, we have to remember a couple of things. The first of which is that he continues to kind of rehabilitate from the shoulder surgery in March. He is recovered and able to make the throws, but that is something that sort of curtailed any movement to this point. The second part of the scenario here is that really the 49ers have been waiting for a situation, perhaps like the one in Cleveland, to unfold where there became a need for Jimmy G on another team. The one thing that I would remind people, though, here is that Jimmy will have some say in where he ends up. The 49ers have made clear all along they will do right by him, given the fact that he has for so long done right by them. So when we look at this, we have to still look at it through the prism of what Jimmy G would want as well. Does he want to go to a situation before, when it was a 6-game suspension, maybe it didn't make as much sense? Now it's a full year to give him time almost for a tryout for free agency. But he would know, just as he was in San Francisco, he's still playing as a lame duck quarterback. That could certainly play into the scenario. We'll continue to monitor it to see if Jimmy G were to wind up in Cleveland or elsewhere.
Mike, real quick.
Yeah. To Jeff's point, if I'm Jimmy G, I'm walking to Cleveland. I'm investing for the year, and now I'm set up to be a great free agent in March of 2023 with Amari Cooper, David Njoku, two good running backs, great offensive line, great offensive play caller. If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, this is ideal for him.
RC, are they a Super Bowl team with Jimmy G?
You know what? It's so hard to say that, but we've watched Jimmy G take a team to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship as well. And so I believe this team is very competitive with Jimmy G. I'm not necessarily sure if they're a Super Bowl team in the AFC with some of those star-studded young quarterbacks they have in that conference.
All right, so we'll continue to monitor Jimmy G. We also keep an eye on what's happening in Dallas. You talk about a team that wants to be a Super Bowl contender. That, of course, is the Cowboys. So coming up, does Dak need help? The gift the Cowboys could give their quarterback that could change everything in the Big D. But in Chicago, bad news for the Bears, injury concerns. Are we headed towards a lost season for Justin Fields? We're talking about that and more next.
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, Sneaky Hembo time. This one's for you, Mike Tannenbaum. You ready? Who owns the Bears' record for career receptions?
Oh, boy.
Answer that when we come back. Mike T going into his encyclopedia now, and Hembo, oh yeah, looking sneaky as ever. Stay with us.
Pay- Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up. Let's go to Meanwhile on Planet Earth. The Jets first-round pick Garrett Wilson was at Topgolf over the weekend. RC, check this out. Look at the swing. Where'd the club go?
Yeah. Hey, Tiger Woods. I see Garrett Wilson. Listen, this man has been working the offseason on his football game. He does not have time to hit the links. I love to see when a football player cannot play golf because I know he's spending his time doing the right thing. Way to work, Garrett, and get ready for that rookie party where you go drop 75K. This is beautiful. All work.
Bigger concern as a Jets fan is that he doesn't have good hands. Hold on to the glove. Get some stickum on your hands. We need you to catch the football. All right, let's get to some Sneaky Hembo time. Speaking of receivers, Mike T, here's the question from Sneaky Hembo. Who owns the Bears' record for career interceptions? What'd you come up with?
So, Al, the obvious answer would be Walter Payton, maybe Mike Ditka, but it's Sneaky Hembo. So I can go with one of my former guys, Curtis Conway.
Curtis Conway? I mean, he's on the list, Hembo. He's on the list. But
I talked myself out of it.
Well, you're trying too hard. I've learned this lesson. You try too hard sometimes. And yes, Walter Payton, 492. Matt Forte, by the way, 487. Curtis Conway was fourth on the list, 329. So he's there.
That's like bronze medal, right?
Fourth place. No. If you ain't first, you're last. All right, Hembo, you win that one. Speaking of sneaky big news, the Bears, we have news coming out of Chicago. Wide receiver N'Keal Harry suffered what appeared to be a severe ankle injury during Saturday's training camp practice. The team's still awaiting further evaluation on the severity. No determination has been made with how long he will be sidelined, but still, this is major news in Chicago, not because it's N'Keal Harry, but because it's another receiver that goes down. So Courtney Cronin joins us right now in the studio, and Courtney's been covering the Bears this season, and it's been on your first year on the beat, a little busy. So just update us on the situation in Chicago with the injuries and also the impact on Justin Fields in his second season.
Yeah, so Saturday's practice, N'Keal Harry was on a screen pass the first play of the team period. He goes down, he gets his ankle wrapped up, and he couldn't put any weight on that thing. So he had to be helped off by trainers, helped off by his teammates. And at the same time, you have Velus Jones Jr., their third-round draft pick, not practicing. So that's not a great sign. Even though Matt Eberflus is categorizing it as a day-to-day thing, the more concerning one there is Byron Pringle, who is one of their top free agent acquisitions. He has a quad injury and really no timetable right now for his return. So it's Darnell Mooney, and then who? Like, I would imagine, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown gets a chance now with a lot of guys out, Dante Pettis, Tajay Sharp. A lot of the players that the Bears have brought in to try to fill out this receiving core are guys who weren't able to really stick anywhere else, maybe didn't have the opportunity to do it for other teams. So That's why they brought N'Keal Harry here, giving him a fresh start. But what Jeremy Fowler had reported yesterday, that it looks like it's a pretty severe ankle injury. And, you know, while we're waiting to find out how severe that is, how much time that's going to keep him out, you look at the depth chart right now for the Bears, and it doesn't look very good at the wide receiver.
There's no depth.
None.
That's the biggest issue there. And, of course, with Justin Fields in his second season, and then obviously in his first season now with a new coaching staff, new front office, new everything, it's more transition. So, RC, what stands out to you about the way this Bears team is built around this young quarterback?
Is there a team built around this young quarterback? Did I miss when they put the team together? Did I miss when they poured money into free agency to make sure he was protected? Did I miss when they made early draft picks to protect him up front, or early draft picks to give him skilled players on the outside? And Courtney mentioned it, like, Darnell Mooney can play. Darnell Mooney has been a revelation since drafted out of Tulane, a guy that can push the ball down the field, also yards after the catch. David Montgomery, you know what he can do in the backfield. Other than that, Justin Fields doesn't have any help. And you go, and we were all talking about having an opportunity to hire a coach to help him, but they go get Matt Eberflus. And so he goes to get Luke Getsy, who is the quarterback coach of the Green Bay Packers. And if I'm Luke and I'm looking at this roster, I'm saying to myself, I wish Aaron Rodgers would have invited me on some of these psychedelic trips where I can get closer to God and maybe bring myself into MVP form, because that's what he's going to need in Chicago. This is the team to me that I feel like has helped its second year quarterback the least of all the quarterbacks drafted last year. And it's going to be a struggle for Justin Fields to take that leap that we look for our quarterbacks to take in between year one and two of starting.
You want to jump off that real quick?
Yeah, and I think to RC's point, the help that they have to give Justin Fields has to come in the form of running the ball 20, 25 times a game. Mm. I mean, we know that David Montgomery is in a contract year for himself. He's also been dealing with a little bit of special teams work, too, so that's kind of interesting. But as far as running the ball and the run support you can give a quarterback, you don't want to be putting him in a situation where he's dropping back 40 times a game and, you know, pass rushers are able to tee off on him so obviously in those situations. So run support, running the ball, being able to give him different launch points, play action, all of those things are going to factor into getting success out of Justin Fields where it might not look like they might be able to given the personnel around him.
Mike, it feels like Justin Fields, second-year quarterback among this group now out of that quarterback class, is in the worst situation of that group.
Al, it's not close. I mean, the big number to me is 58. Chicago Bears gave up 58 sacks a year ago, the most in the NFL. Now, in fairness, they did draft three offensive linemen, later round picks, and hopefully they will develop. But right now, if you can't protect up front for a young quarterback, he has no chance. And that's the biggest problem for Justin Fields' development, is to be able to be comfortable in the pocket, because from there, as Courtney mentioned, it can be the run game, play action, all the other plays that Justin Fields can make. But protecting him up front is job one, two, and three. And right now, that's a massive concern for the Bears.
Yeah, weapons for the quarterback concerns in Chicago. Also, what about in Dallas? Another concern as well. Does Dak have enough weapons around him in Dallas? The gift the Cowboys could give their quarterback that could change that conversation and everything maybe in Dallas. And also in the NFC East, the Eagles have reloaded. But is their quarterback good enough to lead them to an NFC championship? You've got questions, we have answers. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's play a little fact or fiction with RC, Mike, and Jeff. RC, let's begin with you. Russell Wilson won't lead Denver to the playoffs. Fact or fiction?
Nah, I think this is a fact, and this is a hard one because I believe Russell Wilson will make the Denver Broncos better. But when you look at the AFC West, it is one of the best. Nope, I'm sorry. It is the best division in all of football with quarterbacks every week who are just as good as Russell Wilson. And I think this year they struggled a little bit on offense, and they just missed the playoffs.
All right, Mike T, we go to you next. Fact or fiction, the Dolphins are sneaky Super Bowl contenders.
That's fiction. They are sneaky playoff contenders, but they are in the AFC, and there are players like Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, amongst many others. So they had a really productive offseason. Huge year for Tua. I think this offense will be a lot better under Mike McDaniel, but don't see them in the Super Bowl this year.
Jeff Darlington, Mike Tannenbaum wrote this tease for you. Cowboys need to sign Odell Beckham Jr. Fact or fiction?
It is fiction, and like Mike Tannenbaum, like I hate to burst his bubble. I mean, he's like stumping for Odell, like he represents the guy on every single ESPN show, trying to get him signed to a team before the start of the season, like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are just fine, Mike T. Their guys will be back by like week two or week three. Would you relax? If they needed Odell Beckham Jr., they would have just kept Amari Cooper. I mean, what are you doing? What are you getting, 3%? You getting 2%? What percentage are you getting for Odell here?
What a silly idea to go out and sign the best football player on the planet who's a free agent on a team that may be contending. I mean, what a silly idea that is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a need, certainly, but is it an immediate need? RC, is it something they should do right now?
Well, I don't necessarily think you have to do it right now because you don't know where Odell Beckham Jr. is. But Mike T said something like when they first started talking, Jeff kind of worked me and wooed me a little bit, and I was on his side. And then Mike T said something. Why not go sign the best available free agent at the position?
Don't buy into his hyperbole.
Might be contending. That's exactly what the Los Angeles Rams did. They were already a contending team. When Odell Beckham Jr. was on the market, they didn't necessarily need him, obviously having Cooper Kupp, who eventually became the Triple Crown winner. But look what Odell Beckham Jr. was to that team in the playoffs. Look at how he started the Super Bowl. This was a guy who Jalen Ramsey told me when he was talking to him, he felt was going to go out and win the MVP. And so if Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy, a guy that can get back around game 8, game 10, and you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're contending, I do believe this is a signing that you make because this is a signing that can make you better, especially when you lose guys like Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson in free agency and also by trading them.
Well, Jerry Jones said, let's give the kids a chance first before we react. He doesn't feel like there's pressure to do anything, but you feel the opposite.
Yeah, and RC says something really interesting there, too. Like, they don't know where he is with the injury. And I would tell you, based on my experience, guys, that's another reason to sign him, where now you could rehab in our facility, get to know the offense. So whenever you're ready, you're hitting the starting line sprinting. And that's where you don't know if it's week 6, week 10. But the sooner you sign him, the more he learns the offense, the more you can integrate him into playing at the highest level possible.
Now, what is also the chance, guys, Jeff, that somebody else signs Odell and now that opportunity is lost for Dallas? Should there be urgency there just because of that?
Odell has say in this, by the way. Don't forget that. He's going to want to be on a contending team. Like, I understand Mike's trying to get his 3% by getting him on a roster so he can get that guaranteed money week 1. But what Ryan's point about getting him week 8 to week 10, that makes sense. If they're a contending team and Odell wants to go there then, sure. But right now, overreacting to a couple of injuries that eventually will heal themselves by like week 2, week 3, that feels like we should pump the brakes just to maybe manage as a touch. But when Ryan said it, it was so much more rational. When Mike T said it, he continues to sound more and more like a media member and less like a league executive every single day.
Wow.
Since he's on ESPN.
Actually, it's amazing. Way to go, Mike T. This is your new job.
Jeff is talking about you as if you're an agent and not a GM. But I remember you as a GM always loved the, wait, there's a name out there to get to make us better. I'm jumping on. That was always your MO.
Hey, the object of the exercise is to win games. And when you're competing against the Rams and the Bucks, like, again, I don't see the downside to this move. 3%, 2% OBJ. I'll take whatever you want to give me. But let's go win a championship in Dallas.
Maybe later in the show, Mike T can represent Lamar Jackson and get him signed as well. But right now, let's play a little game of jump or slump. We got some players right now that are on the fence. RC, let's go to New York. Daniel Jones, jump or slump this season?
You know, I'm going to go jump. One, like, what would a slump be? Also, I hit Himbo for some stats, and Himbo said it. Daniel Jones has led the most balanced offense since he got into the league. This guy has 50 touchdowns and 49 turnovers. That is balance for your tail. And so Daniel Jones, we can count on him to at least be a little better than that under Brian Daboll.
That's a tough stat. All right, Jeff Darlington. Carson Wentz, jump or slump in Washington?
I mean, slump, just like RC said. What exactly? Actually, it's the opposite. It's a slump. Like, either way, it's a slump. Like, I mean, you could justify it by saying, hey, I'm going to buy cryptocurrency right now on the downside. I wouldn't do it, especially with Carson Wentz either. Like, I don't mean to be mean here, but let's be honest. Like, I mean, it doesn't really look great in camp. I just got to stop talking because I'm just going to keep being mean.
Well, let's go then, Mike T, to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. A jump or a slump?
Yeah, put a ribbon on this. Unfortunately, I'm going to go slump as well. Ooh. He was 26 in completion percentage a year ago. And for Jalen Hurts to take the next jump, he has to do something he hasn't done where he struggled in college at Alabama, Oklahoma. He has to be more accurate for the pocket. If he does, look out. There's a massively high ceiling on this team, but that's something that he hasn't shown thus far in his career.
A lot of question marks. Philadelphia's got a lot of people who believe in them, but that is the one question mark on the team is Jalen Hurts and what he can be. So, RC, does Jalen Hurts have to be an elite passer for the Eagles to have an elite offense?
Absolutely not. And I think that's what, like, we have to get around to the fact that the game has changed, right? Lamar Jackson's not even a quarterback to some people. He should have played running back, and now he can't even be a top-tier quarterback. But he also won an MVP, and he also led an offense that ended up leading his team to the AFC North Championship because they were elite. Now look at what you've done in Philadelphia. You have the most athletic offensive line in football. You have Devontae Smith, the former Thorpe Award winner, who's the 10th overall pick. Now you add A.J. Brown, who we've seen allow a guy like Ryan Tannehill to be better by winning 50-50 balls, yards after the catch. Also, this is one of the best running teams in football, and partly because of what Jalen Hurts can do with his legs. Does he need to improve as a passer? Absolutely. We all know that. That's part of growth. That's part of growing, which we have or used to allow quarterbacks to do. I believe Jalen Hurts has to be the best football player he can be from the position, not necessarily an elite passer. And I believe that's enough on this team when you think about adding a Jordan Davis, a N'Kobe Dean, and a James Bradbury defensively. This team should be a run-first team, a team that gets defensive stops and allows Jalen Hurts to play quarterback in the way that he does best.
RC, sounds like he's talking more about system and coaching than it is about the individual player just having, you know, being great on his own. But you've evaluated players your whole career. What do you see as potential flaws for Jalen Hurts that would keep them from reaching their potential as a team?
Well, I think he can fix them because there's a great axiom that applies here, which is the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. Jalen Hurts' character is off the charts. So it's just working on mechanics, getting the reps inside the pocket. I agree a lot with what RC said. And to me, the more productive he is from the pocket, it sets everything else up. And they do have a great offensive line. And he has made great plays last year. And you see that in flashes. But you just need to be more consistent from the pocket, make this offense get to where they want to go. And I know scouting him how great of a person he is, how much it means to him. And those are all really encouraging signs. And you know, we could talk about Josh Allen a couple of years ago. He came out of Wyoming. He really struggled with his accuracy. He got better. And now Buffalo's rolling for years.
Right. It's also what you do, certainly in the offseason. It's a better story than what's in Washington, where they're already saying inaccuracy with what Wentz continues to happen. But, Jeff, just back to Jalen Hurts for a minute. What is the single biggest factor that you're watching this season when it comes to him and his impact on the Eagles?
Well, there was a word Mike T used there. It was consistency. And I think that actually extends across the board for Jalen Hurts, just being more consistent. And that was talking to people in Philadelphia, what they were kind of concerned. Concern might be an overstatement, but it was definitely catching their radar, the inconsistencies in the offseason, like one day really solid, the next day a little bit off. And again, that's part of the offseason. That's what you're supposed to do, just continue to trend upward in those inconsistencies. And I think that that's the one thing they're watching in training camp. If he can be a consistent quarterback and hit like he does, like at his top, they'll be very happy with what they see from him this season.
And right now, Eagles fans seem to be happy with Hurts, but as you know, in Philadelphia, patience runs thin, especially when we get into the cold weather, no doubt about that. All right, so we have coming up for you the MLS All-Star Skills Challenge tomorrow night from St. Paul, Minnesota, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN2, and the app. 10 MLS and 10 Liga MX players square off in 5 different competitions for league bragging rights. And coming up next, Ryan Clark, top 5 breakout stars of the upcoming season, and only one of these quarterbacks made the list. Find out who next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Get Up. Time now for your morning wake-up call. Sue Bird says farewell to Seattle in her final regular season home game.
And a 5-9 guard from UConn, number 10, Sue Bird.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart how thankful I am, not only for today and all of you showing up, but for 21 years.
Pride of Long Island, 41 years old, 19 seasons. The Storm weren't able to get the win yesterday in her home finale, but Bird hasn't done a lot of losing in Seattle. In fact, she's the only player with more than 200 wins at a single venue. Bird will have a chance to add to that total in the playoffs as she goes for her 5th WNBA title. Certainly celebrating that. Back to the NFL we go, back to football we go. We are 1 month away from the opening kickoff. So, RC, what are the top 5 breakout players this coming season?
Listen, I'm not going to start this thing off sexy. I'm going to start it with the big man for my boy Marcus Spears, give you a little big man balling, and go Christian Barmore in New England. Listen, this is a guy whose pass rush win rate went up as the season went along. He only had 1.5 sacks, but I could see him extending that this year and becoming a double-digit sack guy. Also, he was a monster against the run. And we know how Bill Belichick likes to go down to Tuscaloosa and Alabama and get those dogs up front and those players that fit his system. And I believe that this year, Christian Barmore becomes a star there, much like a guy named Richard Seymour, who just went into the Hall of Fame. Let's take it to number 4, to Javonte Williams with the Denver Broncos. This is a guy who believes, who to me, is as good as Najee Harris. He just didn't get the carries last year. He led the league with 31 broken tackles last year, and we're gonna see him ascend this year. Now, you have Russell Wilson. The pass game is gonna be more prolific. You won't get as many heavy boxes if you're the Denver Broncos, and that's where you have to use Javonte Williams and allow him to become the star that he was meant to be. I'm taking it to New York. I wish Greeny was here so he can hear about Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore was a pass-catching machine at Ole Miss, and last year, yeah, him and Zach was trying to find their way. They was trying to fill it out, and he missed a few games. Now, I expect him to be healthy. Everything we're hearing out of camp is he's absolutely electric, a great route runner, excellent after after the catch. And we've also seen him make 50-50 catches, even at his small stature. I think Elijah Moore takes that next step and becomes a dude for the New York Jets as Zach Wilson ascends as well. At number two, I'm going to give you a quarterback. No, it's not Zach Wilson, so maybe Greeny should be happy that he's not here. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. Here's why. Why in the hell won't he be better? You got Urban Meyer out of there. You get Doug Peterson there. You go out and you spend money and get him weapons, whether it's Cedric Wilson. You've also added players on the outside and up front. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a better player this year. I believe this is the year we see some of that talent that we've been hearing about him from the eighth grade having. We see it on the field in the NFL. He's in a better situation. I expect him to be more comfortable. The locker room is cleaner, but there's also more talent on the field with him. And when you have that and those type of skill players, you can win. And at number one is J.C. Horn for me. I got an opportunity to work with him in the offseason. He's an absolute alien. He's tall, he's long, he's fast, he's quick. We already saw a little bit of what he can do early on in the season last year. This offseason, he's been absolutely amazing, highlight after highlight at practice, and I expect him to show us why he went a pick before Patrick Surtain II, who was also absolutely phenomenal. J.C. Horn is my number one breakout star, and yes, I played DB, so yes, my number one breakout star plays DB as well. I don't want to hear the offensive mess. I don't want to hear the quarterback mess. J.C. Horn, year one to year two, fresh off an injury, he's going to be that dude.
All right. I love the list, RC. I love the fact that Eli Moore's on there. Understand that I'm in Greeny's place, though. I am also a Jets fan, so I am also upholding the presence of Jets fandom in the building. And I do have a problem with the list because Zach Wilson should be number one and then Eli Moore should be number two. But other than that, it's a really good, really good list. But I digest.
I take it.
You know what? With a month away, though, from the season, let's talk some sleeper Super Bowl teams. So, Jeff Darlington, we bring you back into the conversation. Give us your sleeper Super Bowl team.
The Indianapolis Colts. I love Matt Ryan winding up with the Colts. I think this is probably, I mean, I'm not saying it's an underrated storyline because we've talked about it a lot, but it feels underrated. And it will feel even more underrated in late January when Matt Ryan is helping lead the Colts in a playoff run. I think I am so boom on this team over bust. I think this is going to be a huge win for the Colts this season.
Darlington going with the Colts. Mike T, your sleeper Super Bowl team?
The New Orleans Saints.
Oh.
Jameis Winston played really good football last year before he got hurt. Dennis Allen, I think, is going to do a really good job in his second time as a head coach. This defense is very underrated. And when you think about their weapons, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and a healthy Alvin Kamara, that's really going to be hard to beat. So if Jameis Winston can stay healthy, look out. This team can make a lot of noise.
Winston is obviously the big name to watch here. RC, your sleeper Super Bowl team.
Listen, I love that pick, Mike T. That was going to be my pick, but then I edged myself over to the Baltimore Ravens. They're getting so much hate. It's like people are forgetting they were the most injured team in football last year, and at Lamar Jackson's injury, he had them leading the AFC North. And you might not say a sleeper, but you act like people even believe that Lamar Jackson is good enough to win a playoff game. I expect him to come back and play extremely well. You get your running back who wasn't available anytime last year, and then you lost the top three. Also, defensively, you come back healthy with DeMarcus Peters and all of the pieces that you lost on that side. And we know how great a coach John Harbaugh is. Lamar Jackson is solely focused on winning, which is obvious because he's not focused on his contract. And I believe having a guy like that who purely wants to prove that he can win in this league with his style of play, with his level of play, is going to be huge for this team offensively. And now defensively, you're going to find guys back healthy and I think become elite again as we saw them 2 years ago.
I'll tell you what, if they are going to be an elite team, a Super Bowl team, and Lamar Jackson is the quarterback, he's going to need to get paid. Jeff Darlington, where do we stand with Lamar and his contract talks? It feels like we are nowhere.
We are at a standstill, but ultimately the team and Lamar Jackson have continued negotiations in terms of just bouncing back and forth with some different offers. Now, it still stands at a point where Lamar Jackson has made clear that I'm not going to negotiate in the season, that there will be a cutoff point when ultimately I decide that I'm going to ride it out, play this year without a contract, and then enter free agency, perhaps figure it out with the Ravens after the season. But for right now, there is not a deal. It is not imminent. And at this point, it's going to be Lamar Jackson ultimately deciding, do I want the offer on the table or do I want to ride this thing out without a contract at all in 2022?
Can't imagine you do that. Mike T, as a GM, if you're in that front office, how are you handling this right now?
Got to get the deal done for a lot of reasons. On the field, he's a great young player. He's been a league MVP. Off the field, he's been absolutely impeccable. And I want to send a message to the locker room. Lamar Jackson's not holding in. He's not holding out. He's doing all the right things. You want to reward him for all those reasons and say, hey, you do things the right way. You're going to get rewarded here. The other thing, Alan, you brought this up in our meeting this morning. There's something else going on here. Deshaun Watson signed for $230 million. We're talking about $250 million guaranteed. In good conscience, you can't let him go out there in a regular season game without getting a deal done. He's earned it. He's deserved it. The other variable here, without him having an agent, it makes it harder. And I'm sure that has to be one of the reasons the deal's not done yet.
Hey, Jeff, I told you he'd start negotiating for him. RC, final word on this, though. You have Lamar sitting out preseason opener. Should he not play in the regular season based on what Mike just said?
If I'm Lamar Jackson's representation, or if I'm the people that are representing him in contract negotiations, absolutely not. Lamar Jackson does not take the field without having a long-term contract with at least $230 million guaranteed. The precedent has been set. Those are contracts that NFL teams are willing to give out, and that's a contract that Lamar Jackson has earned in comparison to Deshaun Watson. And so if I'm Lamar Jackson, I don't play for a penny less than $230 million guaranteed. I do not risk my health. I do not risk my career. I don't risk a single thing if I'm playing on the last year of a rookie deal. He's earned it. He's already a league MVP. He's changed this organization from what it was under Joe Flacco in his rookie season. And I think he deserves to be paid now, not later.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah, and to RC's point, if you're the Ravens, you have no comeback to that because Deshaun Watson signed in your division for that amount of money with that structure, and that's why, ultimately, that's what Lamar Jackson has to get.
Tell you what, playing great early in the season gives him even more leverage against the Ravens because you could just say, you know what, I'm done playing. Sign me or I don't finish the rest of the season. We shall see on that story. The road to the Little League World Series in Williamsport continues with regionals. We've got 7 games for you today, capped off. You have these at 3. At 5 Eastern, Northern California faces Hawaii. At 7 Eastern, Indiana takes on Kentucky. At 9 Eastern, Washington squares off against Idaho. These feel like college games. And all 3 on ESPN and the app. And the Little League World Series is coming up next year on ESPN. Maine is facing Massachusetts from Bristol, Connecticut. First pitch scheduled for right after 9 a.m. Eastern. Half day for us today. The road to the Little League World Series in Williamsport continues this morning on ESPN at the top of the hour. Maine faces Massachusetts from Bristol, Connecticut. In fact, we'll have 7 Little League regional games here on ESPN today, beginning with these 4. Next, as mentioned, Maine faces Massachusetts. At 11 Eastern, it's Georgia squaring off with Virginia. And then 1 Eastern, New York takes on Connecticut. 3 Eastern, Texas West faces Oklahoma. Mike T, what is the going rate now for an agent? 3%?
Yeah, it's always a little bit less when it's in tax-free Florida. I can tell you that, Al.
So much better. Little League Baseball's next. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Get up.